This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
We've seen what you can do, oh God of wonders. Your power has no end. The things you've done before, in greater measure, you will do again. 'Cause there's no...
Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. Let's see what God has in store for us today. Well, good morning, Wednesday Live listeners. Welcome. What a beautiful Tuesday it is, the first Tuesday and the first day of July. So we kind of burned up June, didn't we?
Yeah.
It was one of those. But that's what happens, you know. We live each day at a time. Praise the Lord. And today we have an opportunity. We have some great testimonies. Listen, folks, buckle up the seatbelts of your chair or your couch, wherever you are. It's going to be a wonderfully full Holy Spirit time. I want to welcome my co-host and co-producer. In fact, the only other producer here at the radio station, Karen Hubbard. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Doing great. Doing great. Glad you're here, alive and well.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Good to be here.
Yeah, it always is. Good to be on, as my friend Ed says, on this side of the dirt. We're going to go right to, we have, again, several interesting, more than interesting guests here, and we want you to wait for that. But the most interesting first guest we have is someone that you know very well, John Nelson with Families Recover. Good morning, John.
Good morning, guys.
How are you doing?
Bright sunny day.
Yep, it is.
Out here getting some stuff ready for this fishing tournament, and we're just blessed, David.
That is cool. Listen, Families Recover, what a tremendous ministry. You were sharing before we went on the air a couple of people that you've helped get into recovery and begin that process of getting clean. And this is what you do. I mean, this is you yourself. God pulled you out of addiction and years of abusing and into a life in Christ, turned you 180 degrees, and now you're helping people get out of that life. That's awesome. And one of the things you have a ministry. It takes money. Most people realize it takes money. And so,
We've been lucky. We've been blessed, and we're zero. We're a zero debt. You know, we've always tried to stay zero debt. We're placing two more girls over in Tampa today to start their journey in recovery. Everybody, a lot of people listening know that I lost my wife to heroin and human trafficking 7 years ago.
Yeah,
and we actually met sober. You know, a lot of people don't realize that. The walls of addiction, it don't matter who you are, what color you are, how much money you make, how much money you don't make. All you have to do is open up the door to that. And, you know, I'm in the business, and I've been around sobriety since 1988. And a whole lot, you know, the mayhem, 38 arrests and all that crap.
Yeah.
But, you know, we, in her memory, we've kind of turned that. These two girls will make number 54 and number 55. That we've been able to kind of get off the street doing the things that it took for them to keep their addiction going and try to steer them in the right direction. You know, we got great facilities involved all over the country. I don't deal with medicated treatment centers at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get them weaned off and detox. But once they go into a treatment setting where they're trying to learn how to walk soberly, we don't want them taking any of the drugs like Suboxone or methadone. So, you know, it's been a journey. There's been ups and downs, but you know, when you see someone thriving, we had girls in your studio last year, three of them.
Yeah.
Two of them got their kids back. The one didn't have kids. They're thriving.
Yes, they are.
You know, they're in the church. They're helping other people. you know, and it's just a blessing. Now, does everyone make it? No. No. The statistics are horrible. But I've learned a long time ago that you look at the ones that are making it.
That's right.
You know, the Bible don't lie.
No, the Word of God is true.
It's not fiction.
So, John, tell
us. We got that tournament coming up at Pirates Cove, the 17th and 18th. We're still trying to collect some money to offset some stuff. Rocky from the Safari has given us his boat, which is the drift boat that's tied up over there at Pirates Cove. So we're able to take, and it's full. We were able to get 30 spots sponsored so we could take out, and you know, like the Miami Heat Bishop, we love taking people in sobriety, single moms and dads, and we try to thrive with single moms and dads that they could never afford to do something like this.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, it's just a beautiful thing to be. Is there a lot of work involved? Listen, anyone that does events, it's not easy. It's a lot of stress. You know, a lot of great things to do. You're always looking for the last minute. And, David, you know as well as I do, you know, with your two shows and hearing, at the end of the day, you have great volunteers, but we're the chief bottle washers.
Yeah, true.
So, you know, getting that last dollar donated and making sure that the shirts are made and, you know, putting out of it, it's a blessing because come the 17th at the captain's meeting and then the 18th when everyone's out fishing, you know, at the end of the day when they come in, it's just going to be a grand thing. Channel 5 will be there. They've always been a big part of what we do. Megan McRoberts is having a baby. Her and I reported about drug overdose and DUI death for probably 12 or 13 years together. And, you know, it's great to have stations like that, like 89.9, and it's great to have news media that'll still let you talk about the stuff that's really going on out there. You know, there's a lot of falsehoods in the media. 89.9 is definitely not one of those falsehoods. And the beautiful part is, even though it's a syndicated news program, NBC, we can at least talk about some of the things that are going out in the real world.
Amen.
You know, we last night alone, 300 people overdosed and died.
Wow.
That's just a statistic.
That's a horrible.
You know, that's not a fact. That is a fact.
You know,
yesterday, 115 people died in DUI accidents.
John, I want you to get back to this Fish Fam Jam and give us some data because time's running out on this segment, and I want to make sure.
You know, I like the rabbit trail, David. Anyway, July 17th and 18th, I'm horrible about rabbit trail. Pirates Cove Marina, we're still taking donations to offset the money. We do have a sign-up and donate button. We do own www.fishfamjam.com. Or you can simply go to familiesrecovery.org. There's a donate page. We are a 501c3, so it is a write-off. And everything works. We're also looking for silent auction stuff. So, like, anything nautical, massages, whatever. You know, if someone out there is listening, you can call me, 772-285-5828. We'll come pick it up. You know, we've got great stuff. Crowder Rods has donated a bunch of stuff. They're in town for a long time. The list is huge at this point. But, you know, we just want this event to go off good. And then I'll be back on the radio reporting about just how God blessed us.
We want to hear about that. But, you know, for people to say this is a tremendous ministry, Families Recover, you heard John talk about what he does and how people are taken off the street, given a whole new life in Christ. And, excuse me, I don't know why things aren't working up top for me today. But it takes money, and if God's touching your heart to either get involved and sign up for the Fish Fam Jam or send money. How can, if someone can't go but they want to give money to your ministry, how do they do that, John?
They can simply go on the familiesrecover.org website. There's a donate page. It'll send them a tax deduction. FishFamJam.com also has a donate page. So, you know, I got great people setting things up like that, which I don't have any electronic experience, but.
Sure.
Or they can send it to P.O. Box 691, Stuart, Florida, 3495.
Okay.
34994, I'm sorry.
And if anybody missed that, call the station. We can give you all that information. Listen, our time's up, but before we go, John, something I promised you to do. And John is also, John Nelson Services is a business partner with WCNO, even right. as Families Recover, a ministry partner. And John is, he's a general contractor for a long time. You've been doing renovations and stuff on homes. And the shout out is John renovated my wife's bathroom not too long ago, did a great job, super work, very trustworthy, came, you know, way under budget, and just wanted to witness to that, John, to support that.
I appreciate you've
got
that.
A great business. He's a Christian man. You can trust this guy and the people that works for him.
We're all licensed and insured, so most family owned. You know, my son's 20, going to be 24. Anyway, he's taken over the business a lot because, me, I'm sick. I can get a heart transplant. But the good news is this. I'm always there to make sure the work's done right.
Yep.
You know, we have great subs. We do a lot of referrals locally. We live in a great place, Dave.
We do. Absolutely. John, we got to go, but look forward to hearing about how things went. And we'll be keeping you and that event in prayer. God bless you.
God bless, buddy. Bye. Hey, thank you.
You're welcome. Oh, man, that's always great to hear from John. And the success, God make gives success anyway. In any ministry, if you think you're doing it, forget it. The very best you can say, well, I was faithful today. Mm-hmm. I asked God to help me, and I got out of the way. And that's good ministry. But John, the Families Recover, gotten a lot of people off the street, turned their lives around. And the coolest thing is now they are doing the same thing. So anyway, I want to shift now. We have, and I think, Barry, it's such a rare privilege. You know how much God loves you when people like you, you get to see more than once? And this is the second week that we've had Barry, also Brooke, with us here in the station, and not just by himself, which alone would be an awesome thing, Barry, but to bring people with him. And so, Barry, I'm just going to ask you to introduce your two guests with us, and then I think we'll start with Sasha and hear his testimony.
Okay, great. Yeah, it's such a pleasure to be here again this week. I've not been that blessed in a while. So, yes, we have two great people. I have my really good friend Craig Pratt from Grace Place School in Fort Lauderdale, who's going to be talking a little later. And we have our really special guest, Sasha Sutseroff, who is got an amazing testimony going from KGB agent to a pastor in Russia, Moscow. Mm. It's an amazing story, and we're going to let him share that story.
So, Sasha, please share your testimony with us.
My name is Sasha Sutseroff. I was raised at an orphanage in Moscow, Russia. My mom ran it. She was the chief medical doctor, but... nevertheless, at 0 to 6, the orphanage. And then I grew up, and I placed a phone call into the KGB's headquarters at the age of 15. Mm. And they were not a bit surprised. It felt like they were expecting me to call them, because all these agencies, whether that be the KGB, the CIA, the Mossad, the MI6, they love orphans. Because orphans have no affiliation with the family. Mm-hmm. Their allegiance is with whoever adopts them. Like James Bond was an orphan. Mm. And so I got admitted into the program and became a KGB agent undercover. It was a happy camper, really. Let alone the fact that it was the KGB which executed 200,000 ministers in Russia and demolished 40,000 churches in Russia over the span of 70 years of communist captivity. Now, they paid me five times better than the national average, and so for that much money, I'd do anything, really.
Sure.
So if I had some moral remorses about what I did for the KGB, I could always come up with a good excuse for doing the wrongs. My best excuse, of course, being, well, I have to provide for my family. And it was my family that set me up one day, big time. My daughter, she was 9 years of age. She came back home from school and said that she had made a new friend at school. And my daughter claimed that the father of the new friend was a Christian missionary from the United States of America. And I looked straight into her eyes and I said, oh, you better be kidding, girl. Well, think of it my way. She said he was a Christian, and I was, of course, a member of the Communist Party. I was an atheist, therefore. I claimed that there was no God. She said that he was a Christian missionary, and I was, of course, a KGB agent. So in my eyes, all these missionaries, quote-unquote, were spies. Mm. And I had to take care of those by profession. She said that he was a Christian missionary from the United States of America. And I was, of course, a proud product of the Soviet Union. I thought we needed no help from the United States of America. Thank you very much. So I got so disappointed with my own daughter that I didn't believe her. Instead, I went to her school. And I talked with her teacher, only the teacher confirmed that there was, in fact, a couple from the United States of America. And the teacher also said that the couple was looking for a Russian tutor, which almost devastated me rather. Because as we say back in Russia, up in heavens, everybody is going to speak the Russian language.
Yeah, right.
Because it takes eternity to learn it.
Yes.
Well, we laugh at it now. Yeah. Believe me, I wasn't at the moment, because that very moment I realized they were not tourists, as I had hoped they were, but came to stay. Well, that, of course, made me even more concerned with the situation. Well, I was a KGB agent, so I felt myself obligated to investigate the case, to then report it to my authorities with the KGB. And I did. I recalled the fact that Natasha, my wife, just happened to be a professional Russian as a second language instructor. She taught at a military academia in Moscow, Russia, where officers from third world countries like Cuba and Guatemala, Venezuela, would come to get trained in military operations in Russia. Only to do so, they would have to go through a very rigorous course on the Russian language by immersion. Mm. A year-long course, too, so that then they could take classes at the military academia in Russian. So my wife did that for a living, and I, of course, utilized that to my advantage. I made my wife teach the missionaries, and that gave me a chance to spy over the family. Now, I was an agent undercover, so I made it look completely innocent. I would just go there to their place, and I would just sit there pretending I was there to wait until my wife would get through with her lesson, to walk her back home, that is, in the dark. Whereas I was, of course, there to listen to what they were talking about. And frankly, all they talked about was God. They wanted my wife to use the Bible as their textbook, and all they wanted to learn was how to say the Lord in Russian, and how to say, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world in Russian, and how to say, and whosoever believeth on him will not perish but have everlasting life in Russian now. And so, in about a half a year of just listening to that stuff, I got converted.
Whoa.
Well, at least in my head, I gave God a chance to even exist, which for me, a KGB agent, was, in fact, a huge step away from my atheistic realm. But the missionaries, they were not just talkative about God. They were also very pushy about God. Some half a year down the road, they pushed me into that praying business and reading the Bible business. They gave me a copy of the New Testament in Russian, and they made me read it. Well, I didn't want to blow my cover, so I yielded, and I started reading the Bible. And eventually, I ran into a portion of the Gospel of Luke, the portion depicting Jesus talking with his disciples. And among other things, Jesus tells them this. He says, "If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, then how much more so will the Holy Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask of him?" And I was just dumbfounded right there, because at that very moment, I realized that Jesus knew me better than I thought he did. Because the first part of what Jesus was saying applied to me perfectly well. I mean, I knew I was an evil man. I was a KGB agent. But I also knew how to give good gifts to my child. And that, of course, made me think. I was thinking, right, if the first part of what Jesus is saying applies to me this well, then what if the rest of what Jesus is saying applies to me as well? And basically, I put God to a test. I followed the simple guidelines of the scripture, and I asked the Father of the Spirit just as the Bible prescribed me to do. And bang! I looked up, and I saw the Lord. And I mean, I saw the Lord just as clearly as I'm seeing you now. Now, mind you, I was not a psycho. I was a KGB agent, hard-headed, stiff-necked, as seen on TV. So this was not a mental image of a kind. I mean, this was the Lord who decided he'd show up for me to believe. Well, the Lord was standing, and the Lord was putting down the Holy Spirit right inside of me. I felt like I was a jar of clay, and the Spirit of God felt like pure gold, only liquid. And I was filled up with the Holy Spirit of God all the way to the brim. Now, that was my conversion by heart, because in my heart I knew Jesus was God. I saw him. Well, with the gold on the inside, I go back home, and my wife meets me in the door, and she says, "What's wrong with you?" I said, "What's wrong with me, honey?" She said, "You're smiling." You see, I had never smiled before. She married me because her father, a KGB colonel himself, never smiled either. So my bride honestly thought it wasn't even proper for a man to ever smile. So apparently Jesus made me smile that day without me realizing that. And of course, my smile gave me away. And since I was a baby in Christ, then I didn't find anything more suitable than to tell my wife that I have become a Christian now. Now, she in turn confessed to me that she had become a Christian even earlier than I did, only she was scared to death to talk about it with her husband, a KGB agent. And so there we were, two complete babies in Christ. Frankly, we had no idea what to do with it, none whatsoever. So we decided we would read a little bit more of the Bible. So we did, because it was, after all, the Bible which got us all started on that track. only to find out that those who accepted Jesus Christ in the Bible would then plant a church. Well, so be it, was said, and we planted the church in Moscow, Russia, in 1991. And I was still a KGB agent undercover. I mean, imagine that church plant. It worked fine, though, until I had my third conversion. You see, I had three. One by head, one by heart, and one by guts. Because one day I learned by my guts what the call of the Lord on my life was. And the call was to replenish the loss. To replenish the loss, which to me, a KGB agent still, translated into the need to train 200,000 ministers that the KGB executed and planned 40,000 churches that the KGB demolished. And again, I had no idea how to follow the call. All I knew, though, with my third conversion was that there was no way I could keep both my faith and my job. So I couldn't quit my faith. I saw Jesus Christ with my own eyes, and I saw I quit my job and went into church planting, and then established the Moscow Evangelical Christian Seminary with a view to replenish the loss.
Wow. And you're still, that seminary, which is a big part of your vision, continues today. And is how many do you graduate each year?
We started the seminary in 1993 with about 17 students to the very first enrollment. And now we've grown to 577 full-time. So I have a very good chance of fulfilling the call of the Lord on my life within my lifespan.
You know, that, I appreciate you sharing your story, Sasha. That is a powerful testimony. And from that, you know, I love these 180-degree turns that God enables us to do from the lives we're in before Christ. And certainly your life was one working very much against the kingdom of God and those who serve him, to now producing men and women who will continue to preach the gospel in Russia. And as you say, to restore those that were lost in purges from the KGB because of their being Christians. And I want to say, we're going to ask you this more than once, but even now I know there are people listening who are saying, how can I provide funding for this seminary to continue? Because it's doing a great work. So how can people donate to the seminary?
Great question. Thank you. It costs me $1,200 a year, $100 a month, to train a church planter in Russia at the Moscow Seminary. Well, it is a significant sum of money, but think, how much would you pay if you send someone to a college in the States?
Oh, a lot more.
Of state, probably 50 times more.
Yeah.
Well, compared to that, $1,200 that I need is 50 times less. But the problem that I have with the idea of sending my prospective leaders to the States to study is that they don't come back. they come in and they get comfortable. So I would much rather have them trained for 50 times less and 100 times more secure.
Amen.
So the way to support the ministry would be to send money through One Mission Society. That's a well-established, 125 years old mission group in the States, headquartered in Greenwood, Indiana. It is a 501c3. You will have your receipt, and we will have the money. You go to their site, One Mission Society, in one word, .org, and you type Moscow Seminary in the search line, and you're right there.
Okay, great. So the website is onemissionsociety.org, all one word.
Yes.
And then you type in Moscow Seminary.
Right.
And then once you do that, you follow the prompts.
Absolutely.
And your money will go directly to exactly. The work of God in Moscow.
Absolutely. $100 a month will constitute a church planted in Russia.
Wow. I have to ask you, Sasha, because, and we talked about this before the program, but I have to imagine there was a certain kind of pushback from the KGB when you left. Were you able to tell them why you were leaving, or did it have to be a secret?
In my days, there were two only reasons on the basis of which you could quit the KGB. You could either go cuckoo or drop dead. And frankly, none of the options I quite liked. Yeah. So I decided I'd wait. And I waited and I waited and I waited until an opportunity represented itself. You might remember those days, actually, Reagan talking to Gorbachev, tear down this wall, the Berlin Wall, the collapse of the Soviet Union. Well, in those days, Russia opened up to the world, and a lot of Americans rushed right in, looking for an opportunity to do a free enterprise.
Mm.
And Russians just loved the idea. It felt so fresh, so unknew, that everybody back in Russia decided he or she would do a free enterprise from now on. So the push from within the Russian society was so huge that even the KGB had to respond to it.
Mm-hmm.
And they did by providing yet the third reason, allowing KGB agents to swap their jobs, the reason being doing free enterprise.
Yeah.
Only if you opted for that reason, you had to prove that free enterprise that you claimed you'd be doing would pay you better than the KGB, which of course was a joke. I mean, nobody could possibly beat the KGB on the money.
Mm.
This was rather a trick designed to prevent KGB agents from fleeing.
Mm-hmm.
But the Lord worked it out. There was a man who accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior at the very church that we planted in Moscow.
Mm.
And he just happened to be the president of a corporation.
Mm.
And so I shared my concern with him, and he, in return, wrote me a nice little letter. On the letterhead of his company, I mean, he signed it and everything. It looked official. Basically, the letter was saying that the company was offering me a job much better paid than the KGB. And of course, I knew just the number to quote. So with that letter, I went to the KGB, showed them the letter, and asked if they could beat the deal. Well, they couldn't. And so they let me go. And I never told them what I was actually doing. And I never worked for that corporation either. But for some good 3 years, they were covering me with that letter as if I worked for them.
Mm.
And meanwhile, now under cover from them, I escaped to the United States and enrolled to a seminary in the United States of America with the view to then replicate the American seminary on the Russian soil.
Wow.
So 3 years down the road, I came back, reunited with my family, which I had left back in Russia as hostages, and planted the Moscow seminary, and it worked beautifully well.
Mm. Well, and still today, it's thriving.
Absolutely. I live in Moscow, Russia. I run the Moscow seminary, 577 full-time student ministers. There are grounds, there is a building, there is a dorm, and we have a federal license to train Christian ministers and religious personnel for the church, granted to the seminary by the Ministry of Education of Russia.
So the Russian government is well aware of what you're doing now.
Oh, absolutely. We're up front. We make no secret of the fact that we train ministers for Russia.
And there's no pushback?
Evangelical Christians enjoy favor in the eyes of the state these days back in Russia. Politicians like us because evangelicals preach peace of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, politicians don't want people to go and protest on the streets.
Absolutely.
Now, oligarchs like evangelicals because oligarchs have stolen everything from the people of Russia. So nowadays, their major concern is for somebody else not to steal from them. So us evangelicals, preaching morals, particularly don't steal. Oh, you're very welcome.
I see that. Yeah. Well, So, I love it how God works that way.
Absolutely. The credit goes to the Lord. I mean, think of it. I'm the least likely person to be running a theological seminary in Russia. Absolutely. And so the thought of getting credit for that never crosses my mind. The Lord gets the credit.
Amen. 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 It's such a powerful story on so many levels. Let's mention again the means whereby someone can donate directly to the seminary.
Absolutely. It costs me $1,200 a year, $100 a month, to train a church planter in Russia. So you go to onemissionsociety.org and type Moscow Seminary into the search line, and you're right there. You can donate online. You get your 501c3 tax-deductible receipt. We get the money.
Now, one thing, and again, I'm always just making assumptions about our listeners, and some are pastors, I know, and some may be listening and saying, wow, I've got to get that guy to speak at my church. So number one is, is there a way that American pastors or anybody that's interested can communicate with you directly via email or something?
I rarely come to the States. I'm a minister in Russia. I live in Russia, in Moscow, Russia. I only come for maybe 3 or 4 top max weeks over a year. But yes, please do. You can write me. It's Tango Sierra, uniform Tango Sierra, Echo Romeo Oscar Victor. Tango Sierra uniform, Tango Sierra Echo Romeo Oscar Victor at gmail.com. Just drop me a line and we'll make things happen.
Okay. And the other thing that's related to that is that, are there any videos of you sharing your testimony that someone could play for their people at the church?
I could.
If you couldn't be there personally.
If you send me an email, I will send you a link to a video of me giving my testimony online, and then you can play it at your church.
Yeah, thank you. And I think it's important. It's such a powerful testimony. Any person that's met Jesus has a testimony that God makes powerful because it's Holy Spirit anointing. But even among powerful testimonies, yours stands out because of the person you used to be and the person God made you.
The best part of my testimony is that it is actually mine.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's not that I heard about it or read about it. I myself lived it, and better still, I'm living it now.
Amen.
And so I'm a living witness to Jesus Christ being alive and well.
Amen.
Hey, absolutely. And every day working through you and those that work with you to touch lives. Karen, did you have any question or comment?
No, but it was just, as you were talking about the school, that it's better to train them in Russia because 9 out of 10, you said, if they come to the United States, they're not going back again. Mm. And, and isn't that how it should be, that you need to evangelize your own nation, that people will receive more from you than maybe from an outsider.
Very true. Jesus actually did it that way. I remember that story, Mark 4:35, when Jesus tells his disciples, let us go over to the other side. So they go over to the other side, and there is this demoniac. So Jesus casts out a legion of demons from that man, and then man wants to come with Jesus. But Jesus says, oh, no, you're not coming with me. You go to your people. You tell them over at the other side what happened to you. And so the moral is, you go over to the other side, you convert a local, and then you delegate the responsibility for spreading the gospel over at the other side to a local man or a woman. I'm just that local. I mean, I'm a Muscovite born and bred, and I'm a former KGB agent, so I know how to throw them off my tail. And think of it, I will be by far more effective than any missionary will ever be because I don't need passport, I don't need visa, I speak the most difficult language on the planet, and I know the local culture.
Amen.
Amen.
And really, you look at Paul's mission to the Gentiles, and he was a Jew, but he was born and raised in the Gentile world. Mm-hmm. And so his whole mission was to raise up indigenous leaders there. And you have immediate relevance to the people around you because they know you or they know of you. But also, and I'm just excited, Sasha, as you share, I'm excited what God is doing through you. Mm-hmm. And you may or may not have an answer for this, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Do you know of anyone in Russia, and particularly near Moscow, that is doing what you're doing with indigenous leadership?
No, we're pretty much unique.
Yeah, okay.
They shut down just about every seminary they could find. Mm-hmm. But we're out there. We're doing it.
Yeah.
Now, there are thousands of Sashas like me with a different calling. Mm-hmm. And as long as every one of us pursues his or her call,
amen,
we're going to be just fine.
Amen. Because that's God's work.
Exactly.
He makes sure it gets done.
Exactly. It takes all the pieces of the mosaic for the greater picture to arise.
Mm. Awesome. Yes, Barry, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask a question or maybe clarify something that was said. That initially when I heard your story, Sasha, years in the past, you always said, you know, you were there to save the lost, to see the lost, but I never understood what you meant by the lost. Now, when you explained that today, I really got a real good understanding of it about how, but maybe you could talk about that a little bit.
Well, exactly. By the loss, I mean those who were executed by the KGB. Mm-hmm. I'm guilty as charged. Mm-hmm. So my calling is to replenish the ministers that were lost due to persecutions in Russia. Now, I do that not out of the sense of the guilt, but out of sense of love for God and for people. I want them to experience what I had experienced myself. I want them to get back on track with the Lord. So the gospel is the answer.
Amen.
And so I'm just preaching the gospel and advancing the kingdom. Oh, but I said God does it through me the best I can.
Amen. And I like the fact, you know, once you've come to Christ, you're not motivated by guilt because you've been forgiven. You're motivated by God's love, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and a hunger in your heart to replicate as many times as you can the relationship you have with Christ for other people.
Amen. Absolutely.
But that is so cool.
Yeah.
Amen. I just got to say, again, an awesome God.
I was just going to say, well, come and visit, but no.
Well, brother, there may be a day when doors will open a little wider for more of us. I hope there would be more of that. We're about to shift. We have another segment with another guest, and we want to make, I'm going to take a little music break, and then we're going to do that. But before we go, again, Sasha, I want to thank you. I want to thank God for you. I want to thank God for moving in your life, manifesting himself to you at the right time. For you, when you could receive the gospel. And I want to thank God also for the work he is doing in you and your family and all those others who have been led to you as you lead and teach and support their lives in Christ. And I know this, God always keeps his promises.
Mm. Amen.
And that the vision he's given you for the seminary, he is every day realizing that vision in more and more lives.
Amen.
And
amen.
I believe when you talk about the numbers that were lost because of oppression under the communist regime and under what would have been at that time your colleagues, those numbers are going to be far exceeded.
Amen to that.
They far exceeded by what God is doing through you and those that work with you. Hallelujah. Once more time, I'm going to say to people who are listening, and
hallelujah,
man, God's building a fire under your giving hearts. Go to One Mission Society, that's one word, onemissionsociety.org, and on the home page is a place to type in Moscow Seminary, that's M-O-S-C-O-W, Seminary. When you click on that, you'll be able to donate directly to this wonderful ministry.
Right.
Sasha, right. Thank you so much for being with us today. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back. And we are back. Wow, that was great, man. Yeah, so follow up again, onemissionsociety.org, and then donate from that homepage to Moscow Seminary. You will definitely not be disappointed when you know what God is doing over there. Now I'm getting back to Barry. Again, what a blessing. Barry, I don't know what we're going to do next week with you not being here. I mean to tell you. But we do have you here, and you have another guest you brought who has a great story. So please introduce him and get his ball rolling for us, would you?
Yeah. So I have one of my good friends, Greg Pratt, is here, and he's from Fort Lauderdale, runs an incredible school down there, or helps run an incredible school for abused and children and all that sort of stuff. And he's also that we had last week, Band of Brothers. He's also a leader at Band of Brothers as well.
Oh, so, how cool is that? What a great linkage.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, I'm delighted, honored, and privileged just to be here. And to your point, we overcome by the word of our testimony, right?
Amen.
And to be invited to just speak. And I'm always honored to just be able to share, because not long ago, I was hospitalized on life support. Wow. And I literally flatlined 3 times, went through a traumatic health crisis. In that encounter, I had a supernatural encounter with the Lord in the hospital room, and he restored me.
Wow.
So there was a point where I was relying for 10 days on a machine to breathe for me until I could breathe again. But God, he proves that he's still moving. He's still proving that he's a miracle working God. So here I am today. And so he breathed life back into me, and basically I say he gave me a contract extension, right?
Right.
And I know that there's a mission. He didn't just restore me to sit on the sidelines, but to share the testimony. And so I've been privileged and honored to now be the program manager and principal of a school called Grace Place School. Mm. It's in Pompano Beach, just north of Fort Lauderdale. And our desire and mission statement is to rescue students that have been experienced tremendous trauma. Many have gone through, you know, human trafficking, rescuing, broken homes, families, sex trafficking, rescue. There's a number of a litany of things that we are privileged to restore, bring them in, and not only give them the educational, academic support, but we give them the biblical foundation. Mm. It's a Christ-centered school, and we give them the understanding that their past does not describe them, but that God has a tremendous potential for them, and we help restore. So it just kind of translated from my experience in the hospital where I was restored, and now God is allowing me to go from life support to supporting life.
Wow.
And so
I love that.
Yes, that's my mission. And so I work alongside the visionary of Grace Place. Her name is Miss Elizabeth Phelps. She founded the school. And Miss Judith Soar is the executive director. The three of us collectively handle most of the administration. I'm the program manager and campus principal. And it's just an honor and a privilege to breathe life into the students who a lot of times are on life support metaphorically. They've gone through things, and Grace Place has become a source of support for them. So we also are able to not only minister to them academically, but give them the biblical foundation. And then from that, I've broadened the platform, and Touch World Life Services is what I founded. And this speaks to the executive leader because my background is in music and in healthcare. And so we're bridging the gap between executive authority and spiritual restoration, moving our past from a residence where we were once stuck to a reference point where we can now move forward in our future with the confidence that God, he restores, and then he also elevates us to another level of accomplishment as long as we trust him.
Amen.
So I have the podcast called Between the Notes, which is founded on my background in music. And in music, if we all think about it really quick, we can think about a song or several songs that we really love, right, and how effective music is. And we can think about where we were when we heard this song or whatever. So my background is in music production and singing. And metaphorically, it's not just the lyrics of the song or the melodies, but it's what happens between the notes that really bring the song to appreciation. Yeah. So in life, what happens between the notes of the ups and the downs, the things that we've gone through, the highs, accomplishments, but also in our low points, I think that's what really, where we really find our strength in the Lord. And so that's what me and Barry Howe, we got involved. Well, we got involved with Banner Brothers, but he's, you know, been instrumental in kind of helping bring that vision to pass as well. So I'm just honored. I'm on mission to, again, go from life support to supporting life, meeting Sasha and interviewing him, and then meeting you all. It's just been an honor. Yes.
Well, and the honor goes back and forth, brother. It's always a blessing. I'm totally put in awe by God at the people he's let me meet and counting, and certainly the people in this room today, and every time to hear testimonies. This is what we're doing here is we're educating the public. You know, the listeners, this is people hearing their stories, the power of the stories. Many of our listeners have their own God story, which is great. Sir. But we need to hear the stories of others. We need in the community of faith. I want to get, first of all, tell us how people can find out more about the school.
Yes, sir.
Is there a website and phone numbers and addresses?
GracePlaceSchool.org is where you can find all the information. Once again, GracePlaceSchool.org. And everything is on there. You know, it describes right now we're in our summer program. Mm-hmm. Summer job skills program, and then our academic year is tailored to students, you know, that are not necessarily thriving in the regular school setting. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so all of the information will be right there on the website. Yes, sir.
Can they also donate from that website?
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you log on to the website, there's a a section there for donations. And we'd love for anyone that is in the area that we oftentimes have tours of the school.
Mm. Oh, cool.
Where you can come in and actually see hands-on what's happening. So we always welcome that as well.
And do you have connectivity with some of the local churches, too, as far as?
Yes. Actually, our campus is located inside of a church called New Covenant Church, which is located right there in Pompano Beach, just west of I-95 and Sample Road, New Covenant Church. And we have our classes on the campus. Yes, sir.
Cool. Well, I love that.
Yes, sir.
I love that. Mm-hmm. Can you, and this may not, I hate to ask questions.
Sure.
That I don't want to put you on the spot, but, you know, there's at least, in the kinds of things you do, at least one powerful story of a student testimony of a turnaround. Do you have a couple of minute
absolutely
testimony you can share with us about a student?
Yes. There are a few that really touched my heart. We recently had a student that graduated, and, you know, she came to us, you know, and there was some course recovery that we had to, you know, had fallen behind. And through our program, her faith and confidence, first of all, she really didn't have a faith in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And as we progressed in her education, she went on to be baptized and was enrolled in a trade school recently down in South Florida, and just recently graduated, went on to get her culinary and hospitality certification. And now she's selling her baked goods and going on to, you know, just be restored. There is another student that came through the program, was struggling a little bit, and he just returned now to the office, came in out of nowhere, and he's on learning a trade and moved on, gotten his own place to live, and just became really established. And, you know, these type of victories are just tremendous, because they come to us oftentimes with literally no kind of, you know, not vision, but, you know, it's really detrimental situations. So the fact that they actually obtained their high school diploma in
That's
and of
awesome.
Itself is a victory, and we have a 98% graduation rate. So.
Well, the groups you normally get these kids from are typically, they come out of difficult home situations. Maybe they've had drugs and alcohol. You also talked about the human trafficking aspect.
Yes, sir.
And all of those negative, dark lifestyles just destroy self-image.
Mm,
they get no sense of mission and purpose.
Mm-hmm.
They have no self-esteem to work out. And what God is doing through you and the folks at Grace Place School is giving them a Christian environment, enabling them to meet the God who made them, and whose plan is to give them meaning and a purpose in their life, a hope and a future. And so they get that there.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
That's again, give God the glory.
Yes, absolutely.
To Him be the honor. And,
absolutely.
And but to thank you all for being faithful and saying, we're going to do what God wants us to do. And people's lives are being changed for the better.
Amen.
Being renewed. And they themselves are then, as they meet Christ and as they are nurtured and as they grow in their faith, they're going to share that with others. I love that replication.
Yes.
Time's almost up, and I wish it wasn't, but, you know, it's the reality of life. We live in linear time.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
And we've used up most of this hour, but Craig Pratt and Sasha Sutsanov, right? Am I getting close? Sutsarov.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get it right. Mm-hmm. Give me a couple of years, then I'll.
He said Russia takes eternity.
But two great testimonies speaking about the greatness of God in lives that have chosen Him over the world. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We'll be keeping you in prayer.
Thank you.
And I hope we'll be hearing from you again.
Absolutely.
And Barry, again, thank you, brother.
You're welcome.
What a great ministry you have at Taken TV.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Real quick, you know, Craig mentioned his podcast, Between the Notes. It's Between the Notes with Craig Pratt. That can be on all your major podcast things, Spotify, iHeart. Also, Godcaster app if you want to download that. But it's a great podcast.
Amen. Thank you. We'll
Thank
talk
you.
To you next week.
Thank you.
Cause there's no prison wall you can't break through, no mountain you can't move, all things are possible.
Thanks for listening to Wednesday Live today, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part